Krishna Yoga Anubhavantam Nisham Yendro Kivishmita Nishthambho Bharashta Sankalpa Swanmeghan Sanyavaranayat. When Indra observed this exhibition of Lord Krishna's mystic power, he became most astonished, pulled down from his platform of false pride, and his intentions thwarted. He ordered his clouds to desist. Kam vyabhram uditatityam vatavarsham dadaranam Nishamyo paratam gopam govardhana dharo bhavit. Seeing that the fierce wind and rain had now ceased, the sky had become clear of rain clouds, and the sun had risen, Lord Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, spoke to the cowherd community as follows. Niryat-tyajyatrasam Gopa Sastri Dhanarabhaka Uparatam Vattavarasham Vyuda Prayascha Nignaha Nimnaga. My dear cowherd men, please go out with your wives, children, and possessions. Give up your fear. The wind and rain have stopped and the river's high waters have subsided. Tataste niraya yor gopa swam swam adhaya godhanam sakato dhopakaranam stribhala stavirashanai. After collecting their respective cows and loading their paraphernalia into their wagons, the cowherd men went out. The women, children, and elderly persons gradually followed them. Bhagavan apitam shailam swastani puravavat prabhu pashyatam sarvabhutanam sthapayam ashalilaya. While all living creatures looked on, the Supreme Personality of Godhead put down the hill in its original place, just as it had stood before. Tam prema vegan Nibrita Brido Kasho Yathasani Yu Pariram Pandana Dibi Gopyas Chasa Sneham Apujayan Mudha Dadyakshatad Bhir Yuju Sadashisha. All the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with ecstatic love, and they came forward and greeted Sri Krishna according to their individual relationships with him, some embracing him, others bowing down to him, and so forth. The cowherd women presented water mixed with yogurt and unbroken barley corns as a token of honor, and they showered auspicious benedictions upon him. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that each of the residents of Vrindavan regarded Krishna in his own way, as an inferior, younger member of the community, as an equal, or as a superior, and they dealt with him accordingly. Krishna's superiors offered auspicious benedictions, lovingly smelled his head, kissed him, rubbed his arms and fingers, and inquired with parental affection as to whether he was tired or pained. Krishna's equals laughed or joked with him, and those who were younger fell at his feet, massaged his feet, and so on. The word cha in this verse indicates that the wives of the Brahmins joined with the cowherd ladies to offer auspicious items like yogurt and unbroken grains. Lord Krishna received benedictions such as this. May you subdue the wicked, protect the decent people, give pleasure to your parents, and be enriched with all wealth and opulence. All the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with ecstatic love, and they came forward and greeted Sri Krishna according to their individual relationships with him, some embracing him, others bowing down to him, and so forth. The cowherd women presented water mixed with yogurt and unbroken barley corns as a token of honor, and they showered auspicious benedictions upon him. The sweetness of the pure love of the Brijavasis is herein most wonderfully described by Srila Shukadeva Goswami in these auspicious pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The sequence of events that take place in this Govardhan Lila are most extraordinary. First we find Nanda Maharaj, along with all of his associates, preparing to perform worship of the demigod Indra for the sake of material prosperity. They were praying so that there would be good rains in order that the grains would grow nicely, and with the grains and grasses that are produced from rains, there would be milk from the cows, and naturally all of their economic problems would be solved. They were living so close to the earth. Simple living, high thinking gives us that understanding that we truly are depending on the mercy of God. Because after all, the earth, the rains, the sunshine, they are all the natural phenomena which are the gifts of God. Of course, factually, everything is the gift of God. But when we are living an artificial lifestyle, such as we find in the cities, in the towns, and even sometimes the villages today, where we simply pay some money in the marketplace and we get food, we turn on a switch and we get light, we turn a tap and we get water. Most everybody forgets their dependence on God in this atmosphere. But a simple life, as the Brijavasis were living, they were directly in contact with the awareness that if God does not give rain, we will die. If God does not give sunshine, we will die. How often do people living in these cities think like that? The fact is, everyone is equally dependent on the rain, the air, and the sunshine. But in a simple life, we are directly aware of it and grateful to God. But in a complex lifestyle, we forget Krishna. We forget him in our day-to-day life. And therefore we are not grateful for his gifts. Therefore, simple living, high thinking is the natural process of spiritual consciousness, conducive to this awakening of a grateful heart toward Krishna. So, according to the Shastra, Indra is immediately in charge of the rains. Although the Brijavasis were fully aware that Lord Narayan was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still they were following the tradition that through Indra it was coming, so therefore we will worship Indra. But Krishna, for several reasons,
He stopped this Indra Yajna.
One is he wanted to show the devotees for all time to come that there is no need to worship any demigod, simply worship me. If you water the root of the tree, automatically every part of the tree is fully satisfied. If you worship Krishna, there is absolutely no need for worship of anyone else. We should always offer respect to all living beings. But the greatest respect we can offer to the demigods is with their blessings to worship the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. And also, of course, Lord Sri Krishna wanted to curb the pride of Indradev. So he convinced them that let us worship Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill is providing nice grasses. Immediately, we know that ultimately everything is coming from Narayan. You are thinking immediately everything is coming from Indra, but I say it more directly, everything we are getting for our whole economy is coming from Govardhan Hill. So why not worship Giriraj? So they began to perform the yajna. Krishna appeared as Govardhan Hill and accepted all of the offerings. And everyone was satisfied, except Indra. Because Krishna's plan was perfectly fulfilled. He wanted to devastate the pride of Indra. So therefore Indra became so furious. For one who is honored, dishonor is worse than death. If you're not given any honor, you don't really care if nobody gives you honor. But if you're honored, when somebody does not give you, you become furious. You become depressed. You become oftentimes offensive and outraged. So this is the situation. Indra sent torrents of rain. And at this time, the Brijavasis, first of all, they're just listening to Krishna because he's such a good at argumentation. And then, when Indra sent the rains, they helplessly took shelter of Krishna, knowing that he is the only one who could protect them and save them. And after he lifted the Govardhan Hill, they all stood under that hill with him, simply looking at him with such affection and devotion. But yet the Brijavasis, the nature of their love was such that although in their heart of hearts they knew that it is Krishna that is protecting us, he is so beautifully lifting this Govardhan Hill effortlessly just to save us from death and suffering. But according to their particular rasa of love for the Lord, they really couldn't accept this in their minds. Therefore, the cowherd men, in order to protect their lila, that actually Krishna is our child, our son, and he is depending on us, they began to put sticks under the Govardhan Hill, and they were thinking that actually they were supporting it. Because after all, Krishna cannot do it himself. If we do not feed Krishna nice butter and milk, he will die. So how possibly can he be doing this? So they were all holding the sticks. And Krishna was simply smiling. At one time, it is explained by Rupa Goswami that Krishna was glancing upon the beauty of the gopis. And because of this, his finger began to tremble. And it appeared that the hill may fall. So then everyone really started supporting with their sticks, thinking that Krishna cannot do it, but with our help it can be done. And when Krishna saw like this, he became embarrassed because he was thinking that they knew why his finger was trembling. So in this way, Krishna was performing his wonderful reciprocation of love with his devotees. And after the 7 days, we find here that Indra, he came to the realization that he was like an insignificant insect in comparison to Krishna. He understood that he was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because nobody else could defeat him in this way. He was the greatest of the great in the heavenly planets. And anyone who could do this to his pride must be God himself, Krishna himself. So Indra told the clouds with a heavy heart that, please, go away from here. We have endured enough humiliation. We have committed enough offenses. And we are about to read how Lord Indra, he understood the proper process of atoning for offenses, that you have to beg forgiveness. He began not by begging forgiveness from Krishna, but by begging forgiveness from the cows, the Surabhi cow. This we will discuss in future days. But for now, let us analyze how the Brijbasis reciprocated with Krishna after he placed the Govardhan Hill down in the exact location where he had picked it up from. It is described that the residents of Vrindavan, they simply saw Krishna as the object of their love, their hero, their all in all, their everything in life. It is described that those who were junior to Krishna in age, they massaged his lotus feet and they massaged his legs, and they bowed down to him. And in this way, they treated him as if he was in a superior position. But those were his friends. For them, there was no question of inferior or superior. For them, Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill was just like a wonderful game that he played with them. They did not think, he is the Almighty God who is protecting and saving our lives. They are thinking, he's just playing another wonderful game with us. He's lifting the hill and we get to go under it, and this is very fun. Huh? So therefore, they simply started joking with Krishna and laughing with Krishna and probably making fun of Krishna also, because that's what they always did. Krishna would make fun of them. They would make fun of him. And they would just joke and laugh together. It was all a wonderful game, was it not, Krishna? Yes, yes. Wonderful game. And the superiors, those who were elder than Sri Krishna, they began by offering auspicious benedictions to him. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, what type of benedictions? May you subdue the wicked, protect the decent people, give pleasure to your parents, and be enriched with all wealth and opulence. How wonderful this is.
That they are, if you give a benediction like this to someone, that means you think that they need these things and that it is because of you that they can receive it. Huh? Not necessarily because of you, but because of your prayers to God. They were, by offering benedictions, they were praying to the Supreme Lord that these blessings be upon their beloved child, Sri Krishna. And it is described that along with giving their blessings to Krishna, which they felt were so important and essential for his welfare in life,
they also
lovingly smelled his head. And they kissed him. And they rubbed his arms and fingers. And they inquired with parental affection as to whether he was tired or pained. Who can understand the Vrindavan Leela? Nowhere else do we find such beautiful loving exchanges. In Vaikuntha, everyone is worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his majestic form of Narayan, and accepting him as the supreme controller of all controllers, the supreme god of all gods. But in Vrindavan, his devotees, they are kissing him, and they are offering him benedictions, and they are lovingly smelling his head. They are so intoxicated with the sweetness of their love for Lord Sri Krishna that they factually cannot conceive of his supreme position as the personality of Godhead. And how is this possible? It is only possible by the arrangement of Krishna himself. It is Krishna, in order to give pleasure to his devotees, in order to receive the highest, sweetest pleasure of their love, that he covers them with this potency of yoga maya. It is not something that we can artificially imitate. It is something that comes by the grace of God. Therefore, in the process of bhakti, sadhana bhakti, at the beginning, we must learn to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead as God. Although we are reading these wonderful, wonderful pastimes of the higher rasas of Vrindavan, still we must be conscious that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Controller of all controllers. We are eternally dependent on him. We should not try to imagine or imitate the residents of Vrindavan until Krishna, by his divine grace, gives us these sublime realizations and gives us entrance into these spontaneous love affairs. You see, the residents of Vrindavan, they were not consciously trying to forget that Krishna was God. They were not trying to consciously worship Krishna as their son, ignoring their eternal position of being subordinate to him. They were thinking themselves superior to him because Krishna intervened within their consciousness and brought about this understanding of love. The process of spontaneous love, the bhava of the Brijvasis, is the divine intervention of Krishna himself in their realization of Godhead to give them these sweeter and more profound rasas. And therefore, the great acharyas explain, we should not try to imagine or imitate these higher rasas until we become completely purified and Krishna begins to reveal them to us by his grace, by his mercy. It is not simply a matter of training. It is a matter of receiving the infinite grace of Krishna. These are purely the activities of the internal potency of the Lord. It is not something you can attain. Just like Narada Muni, you know the story, in his previous birth, when he went wandering and looking for God, he went through all the towns, all the cities, all the villages, through the agricultural fields. Then he went into the jungles, and then he went deeper and deeper into the recesses of the forest. Alone, completely depending on the mercy of the Lord, with no one except God himself to protect him and nourish him. He was only a child. And he began to meditate. And in that meditation, Lord Narayan appeared within his heart. And then he disappeared. And he began to meditate again, the same process, but nothing came. And he became frustrated. And then Lord Narayan spoke to him that at my sweet will, I will reveal myself to you. It is not by your mechanical meditational processes, but it is by my divine grace that you can perceive me as I am. In the same way, it is not simply by our imagination or our different processes of training that Krishna reveals himself, but it is by his divine grace. When he is pleased with us, when he is pleased with our surrender, when he is pleased with our service attitude, when he is pleased ultimately with how humbly we are chanting the holy name. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura put all emphasis on the chanting of the holy name and service to the Vaishnavas. Because by this process, when we become truly humble and submissive in the devotional service to the Lord, then Krishna brings us to these higher stages of spontaneous ecstatic love, where by his grace, we do not try to forget his supreme opulence, but by his grace, he simply fills our heart with so much spontaneous love that we simply don't remember. This is Goloka Vrindavan. It is the place where the mercy of Krishna is at its most sublime state of culmination. The peak, the summit, the ultimate supreme manifestation of Lord Sri Krishna's mercy is found only in Sri Brajabhumi, Vrindavan Dham. Because it is there that he allows his divine associates to love him with such freedom and such pure feeling. Krishna himself enjoys. It is explained that he enjoys being chastised by Mother Yashoda more than he enjoys even the greatest Brahmins chanting his glories and praises through the Vedic hymns. He enjoys his friends, the gopas, climbing on his back and wrestling with him, more than he enjoys the severe, severe tapasyas of the yogis who are fasting and doing all sorts of impossible feats to try to please him. He is enjoying the loving chastisement of the gopis, and they're dancing with him after they forgive him, more than he enjoys even the greatest sacrifices and rituals, Aswamedha yajñas, Gomedha yajñas, which takes so many long, long years to prepare. Why? Because we can understand that these devotees, they have already gone through all of these preliminary processes of purification. And to achieve residence in Vrindavan, the true Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, one must, by the supreme mercy of the Lord, be endowed with this type of spontaneous feeling and love. And ultimately, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is our goal. Our goal is to ultimately please Krishna by entering into these loving affairs with him. But we must know that obedience to the spiritual master, service to the Vaishnavas, sincere chanting of the holy names of Krishna, and hearing these wonderful pastimes of the Lord in a spirit of submissiveness is the process, the means of receiving the divine grace of Sri Krishna. And when by his causeless mercy he becomes so pleased with us that he wants to give us entrance into these wonderful loving affairs of spontaneous attraction, then we are promoted to this level of consciousness. Sometimes I remember one time I met a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And what happened is, after Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world, this person went to a particular Babaji in order to get the initiation ceremony, Siddha Pranali, by which he can understand what his rasa is in Goloka Vrindavan, and he could meditate and contemplate upon that. Because as Babaji told him, unless you meditate on this rasa now, then at the time of death you will not go back to Goloka Vrindavan for that purpose. But unfortunately, he did not understand with faith the supreme gift that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was giving him. If someone is already in such a pure state of divine consciousness, sometimes the guru will reveal that person's lila with Krishna. But if you are not on the platform where you can actually understand with realization what he's saying, generally the spiritual master will not give you simply an object of imagination, but he will simply give you an entrance into your actual identity in the spiritual world. But are you prepared for that? So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simply gave Harinam, that everything is within the holy name. If you learn how to be humble by serving the Vaishnavas, and you chant the holy name with all humility, everything will be revealed by the guru within, the spiritual master, whether he comes from without and explains to you, or whether he explains it, or whether he reveals it from within. It is all done through the potency of the purification of the chanting of the holy name. That is all that is required. Learning how to purely chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas. Everything else will come. And we must have faith in that. There's no need to go anywhere else. There's no question of anything higher. The name of Hari is Radharani herself. The name of Krishna is Shyam Sundar himself. All the blessings and grace of God is within that name. And it is revealed by the mercy of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master reveals it according to our faith in him. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru. He reveals it according to our faith in him and our faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. And according to the sincerity by which we are surrendering and becoming purified. It is true that the idea of submissiveness and surrender is inferior to the sublime love of Vrindavan. They're beyond surrender. They're beyond submissive. They're not submissive to Krishna, at least externally. They play with him like an equal. They tell him what to do. Huh? The coward boys tell Krishna, do like this, and he does. That's not submissive. And Krishna, Mother Yashoda tells Krishna what to do, and Krishna surrenders to her. She's not surrendered to Krishna. Krishna surrendered to her. So these activities of the spontaneous love of Vrindavan is beyond submissiveness and surrender, no doubt. But to think that we should just imagine ourselves on that platform and therefore not be submissive and not surrender, to think that we're in the Vrindavan mood, is foolishness. It is an imagination. Krishna says, Sarva dharma paritya mame kam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami mashicha. He also says, tad vidhi prani patina pari prishnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina svata darshana. That you approach a guru and you inquire submissively and you serve him. This is not the mood of Vrindavan. And he said, you abandon all varieties of religion and you just surrender to me. I will protect you, do not fear. The Brijabasis are way beyond this platform of consciousness. But Krishna is giving the ways and the means by which we can please him. And when we please him to such an extent that we are totally surrendered and completely submissive and totally humbled when we chant the holy name, it is only then that he reveals the sublime leela of Vrindavan into our heart. By his causeless mercy and with the blessings of our spiritual master, we are given into the entrance of Krishna's loving affairs. And then, when we are on that platform of consciousness, then we are actually trained. We are actually trained to be one of the intimate associates of the Lord by those other intimate associates of the Lord who are on that platform. So of course Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati could have given everything to this person at any time. But knowing the true path of bhakti, he wanted this devotee to simply chant Harinam. There's nothing else to be known except Harinam. Everything is within Harinam and service to the Vaishnavas. And I will reveal everything in due course of time. The spiritual master has that power. But he will not interfere with our independence. If we want to take the process of bhakti cheaply, then we can do like that. But we must know that when we're reading the beautiful pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan, we are reading with a true respect and a reverence for the position and the magnitude of the love of these Brijavasis. They are the supreme most transcendentalists. They have totally surpassed all other forms of yoga and religion. And therefore, by hearing their wonderful pastimes, we are praying to receive their blessings. And by their blessings, we receive the blessings of Krishna. And through the blessings of the Vaishnavas and the blessings of Lord Krishna, there is nothing that is impossible for the devotee of the Lord. Is there any questions? Yes.
Since, Maharaj, it is only by the causeless mercy of Krishna and Guru Maharaj that we can do any advancement in spiritual life. And this mercy we can get it only when we serve the spiritual master in a humble attitude and serve the devotees. But this doubt used to be there in our mind that in our process of our spiritual life, as such it is a causeless mercy. We don't have any, so to say, type of a thing that we are supposed to get. It is a causeless. On the other hand, there are so many, at least in a spiritual life, there are so many years we have to go through this much years. And in that years, we are really have to strive, go on striving ourselves to serve the spiritual master, serve the devotees in a very humble attitude for so many years in our spiritual life. If at all in our process of our, whatever the lifespan is there, if at all we miss it, because mind is so wicked, senses are completely decontrolled, and we are go on striving ourselves to go on controlling all the things and putting on the proper path. Now in the process of our spiritual life, if we miss it by not controlling our senses, by mind of our completely going out of our control, and we lose the, so to say, the charmness of our serving the spiritual master and the devotees, again that causeless mercy will go away from our hand. And then again we'll be back into that same trap whatever we were before. So how to see that mercy doesn't go anywhere. That should be there, although our mind is come out going, senses are coming be controlled, but that mercy doesn't go. Because then we have no hope in our spiritual life.
If you are endeavoring sincerely, Guru and Krishna's causeless mercy will always be upon you. The form of that causeless mercy may change according to your particular state of consciousness. For instance, if you commit sinful activities, but you are sincerely endeavoring, but you just become inattentive, not very cautious, and you temporarily fall down, the causeless mercy of Krishna and Guru is still with you. But that causeless mercy may take the shape of punishing you, perhaps very severely, to teach you a good lesson. causeless mercy may also cause you to fall down for a short time, just to make you very humble. Huh? But it is all still coming through the causeless mercy of the Lord. But when we become insincere, when we no longer endeavor or try to purify our life and serve our spiritual master, when we become offensive toward our guru or the Vaishnavas, it is at that time that at least temporarily we are disconnected from the causeless mercy of the Lord. It is still there, but it may be unmanifested for some time, until we come again to the proper standard of Krishna consciousness. So if you're simply sincere and endeavoring sincerely, then even if you slip, even if your mind and senses sometimes go here and there, Krishna will always be there to protect you. That answer your question?
Regarding this song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because we are in the same predicament, so I just wanted to know it, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, and this is only the attachment of my wife, children, and my money that is the biggest obstacle in my spiritual life. Now, he has realized that from his core of his heart, that this is all this obstacle and this is attachment itself is an obstacle. Yet we see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has spent his whole life with his family, at the same time with his wife, his children and all. He had given his full justice to his children and everything. Now on one side he knows that they are the biggest obstacle, this attachment is the biggest obstacle. And on the other side...
He is saying that for your sake.
Obstacle. And on the other side...
He is saying that for your sake. For him, there was no obstacle. His wife, his children, his occupation, it was not an obstacle even in the slightest. Because he was fully conscious that everything he was doing was an offering of love to Krishna. But for your sake, he's explaining it as an obstacle. Because for one who is not in that state of consciousness, potentially it is the greatest obstacle. And unless we are warned very carefully not to become attached to these relationships on a physical or material platform, then it is impossible. If we don't really have good, strong association with devotees, according to the Shastra, according to the teachings of Bhaktivinoda, he said that the nature of family life is such that you become so much on the bodily concept of thinking in terms of temporary designations due to their association. Therefore, there's only one way that you can be immune from coming down to the bodily concept in family relationships. And that is, you have to have such strong association with sadhus that neutralizes the material element entering into your family relationships. With your family itself, you will never go above the bodily conception, even if you're having kirtan and everything together. You have to do that. But to actually have kirtan and read Bhagavatam and everything together in the proper spirit of detachment, you must have very, very strong association with sadhus.
This process is a very long process. Grahastha life is a very long process. This doubt sometimes used to come in my mind.
What is very long? How long will you live? Maybe 18 or 90 years. The most 100. Is that a long time? Not very long. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, actually, the last years of his life, he took sannyas. He renounced all other obligations to set the proper example. He didn't have to. He was a pure devotee of the highest order, even with his so many children, wife, and responsibilities. He didn't increase his Krishna consciousness by taking to the renounced order of life. But he did it to show an example for us. He wanted to show how an ideal devotee should behave in every order of life. Any other questions?
Maharaj, how do we know that we are sincerely trying our best?
The sign that you are sincere is that when superior Vaishnavas give you an instruction, you do not try to figure out how you can do something else, but you try to figure out how you can do it best, and you honestly try to do it the best you can. Huh? If you do that, you are sincere. No excuses. No alternative ideas. We could present them. That is all right. But when ultimately the instruction comes, what you should do, to follow the four regulative principles. Are you actually endeavoring to follow those four regulative principles at all costs? Are you endeavoring to chant the vow you have taken of the holy names of the Lord at all costs? Are you endeavoring to execute what you are being asked to do? Huh? If you are, that is a sign of sincerity. And you're doing it. At least you're trying to do it. Even if you are very much deficient, you are trying to do it. Please, your Guru and Krishna, you're trying to do it so that you can become purified. Huh? If these are our motivations and these are our activities, then that is a sign of being very sincere. Insincere means, yes, I know I'm supposed to follow the four regulative principles, but it doesn't matter, I'll do this and I'll do that, because it's fun, because I like it. Huh? That means you're insincere. Or you know you're not supposed to associate with certain types of people, oh, but I like them. That means you're insincere. You know you're supposed to chant the holy name 16 rounds every day if you're an initiated devotee, for 2 hours every day, and you think, oh, I don't feel like it today. It's not so important. It's a ritual. That means you're not very sincere. If your spiritual master asks you, please bring me some water, and you think, well, water's kind of far away, and he's not really that thirsty anyway. That's not very sincere. If you're sincere, then you will receive the blessings of Krishna. Even if there is deficiencies in your life. There are so many deficiencies. We have so many faults. But Krishna will help us overcome them in due course of time. Any other question? One more?
Is there any difference between being one serious in spiritual life and one being sincere in spiritual life? Sincerity and seriousness, is there a difference in this?
You should be both. It is the same.
Maharaj, you said the process is to be submissive and have a surrender mood. We have seen devotees for years going through austerity, being submissive, very sincere. And then they, now you said it's an imagination to go and stay there in Vrindavan. But how do you know it's not the grace of God? He's revealing to them and he's asking them, they take vows that not to leave Vrindavan. How can we judge? Like we also said that we can't
it's
judge.
It's very easy to judge. Is it in line with the order of his guru? He's disobeying his guru to do it. You think that's God's will? We should not criticize or judge people, but we should know that we cannot respect this. We can respect from a distance, but we don't appreciate it. Where do we find in the Shastras where a person who has a bona fide guru, he disobeys his guru to follow the grace of God? Or even his param guru, or his param param guru? It is, of course, there are people who are bhajananandis. We should not judge them. We should respect. But within our own congregation, we should discriminate. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read of the most advanced ecstatic devotees. And still, they don't do anything without getting the blessings of the superior Vaishnavas and their gurus. Lord Chaitanya himself would not go to Vrindavan until he got the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Right? So what is your position to go to Vrindavan? When the Vaishnavas and the guru are telling you not to go, and even Lord Chaitanya wouldn't go without the blessings. Although we want to offer all respects to all devotees, we cannot bring this philosophy of Krishna consciousness down to such a cheap platform. We can discriminate. That if a person really has the grace of Krishna to do it, Krishna's grace will come through the blessings of Guru and Vaishnavas, not separate. In that way, it's very simple and clear. Any other questions? Adibu.